up, y'all?
Hello, America.
We are back with the Weber Bell.
Yes. It's been the anticipated post midterm election episode.
It is here.
We just kind of want to like recap.
We all know you were at the edge of your seats waiting for our recap episode to decompress from the week.
It has been a week, and not to start on a bad note, but we do want to you know reach out to those and honor those unfortunately that had passed in the shooting in Thousand Oaks this past week, as well as the fires that are happening in the same area.
It's a lot for one community.
It is. There's a lot going on. So please, if you can, donate to Red Cross. For those of you that are in the area and can house people or that can help them, unfortunately, there's been a lot of damage thus far. We are recording this on Saturday, so it's been about 24 hours, more than 24 hours now that the fires have been going on, and people's lives are definitely being affected by this. So if you can, please reach out in any way that you can to help these people.
Yes, please.
So then, but switching gears back, we are here to talk about the midterms.
We are. How are you feeling about it, James?
Because I was wondering, should we see, is this a victory? Like, is the blue wave, has it finally hit? And you know what? I don't want to say that we had some huge uprising and it's changed. But I do think the voters have spoken, and we've done way better in midterm elections than we have in the past.
Yeah.
So I do think it is a step up.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was talking about it. I was with a friend the night of the election, and we were talking about, as the news came in, we were like, Is this good or bad? And as we kept talking, I was like, I feel like part of me wants to move away from that dichotomy of it's either good or it's bad. Mm-hmm. It's both, you know, and there's really exciting, great things that happened on Tuesday. And then there's a lot of next steps still, And so it's important to celebrate your victories to make sure that people remain inspired, but it's also important to identify, where we could have pushed a little harder, or what we could have done differently, or the strategy here, the strategy there. And so I'm trying to change my mindset a little bit from am I happy or sad about it? Mm-hmm. And think a little more holistically about it. But
yeah. And it's also,
in general, I'm feeling level. I'm feeling okay, cool. It wasn't a massive blue tsunami,
right?
But I honestly also wasn't really expecting that.
Neither was I.
So I'm kind of okay, cool, we're here.
What I did want to walk away with was optimism. I wanted to feel I do feel like we have people in the right spot and that things can be done. So obviously, once January comes, we're going to learn a lot more about what these people are capable of and what they're going to do. Because elections are so important, and I will continue to stress that forever. Now it's the follow-up.
Yeah, now these people that we've elected have to do the work.
Now we need you to do the work. We voted for you. We wanted this change. Exactly. Are you going to give us that change? And we understand, right. So right now so the Democrats have the House.
Yes.
And the Republicans still have control in the Senate. Yes. Okay. So how are we going to work? Are we going to work together? Do we need to, do we need to collectively resist Trump? Is the Republican Party still going to fall in line with him over the next 2 years? Mm-hmm. And if that is the case, are the Democrats going to have the backbone that they need to have and combat this? They have to stand up to this. And so we need to hold them accountable. So
we need to hold them accountable.
Yes. So
another piece of optimism that I am holding on to is the huge increase in people who voted, it's, as someone who's involved and pays attention and all of that, most of the time I assume everybody else is at the party until I remember that they're not. So it's exciting that there's some new people paying attention and more people turning out for interims and midterms and things like that. So
let's actually talk about some of the cool things that happened.
Let's run down some of the good stuff that happened.
There's a record number of
women in the House.
Awesome.
Boom.
As of Thursday, CNN predicted at least 100 women would win House races, and 35 women newly elected to the House. And with 35 women newly elected to the House and 65 female incumbents.
Yeah, which that's beats the awesome. Previous number, because the previous number was 85.
Yeah.
So that's a big jump, y'all.
It's a huge jump.
It's a big and exciting jump.
And so within that number, we have the first two Native American women elected to Congress.
Yeah, let's say that again. The first two Native American women elected to Congress. Yes.
Democrats, Sharice David.
What? And, I mean, yep. just, I'm still like thinking about yeah. that. You know, like we're coming up on Thanksgiving and we're coming up on all these things that like remind us that this is not necessarily our land. We just mm-hmm. had alleged Columbus Indigenous People Day, you mm-hmm. know, a few weeks back. Like mm-hmm. think about the historical significance of that. Not only is it Native American, mm-hmm. but it's also a woman. Two
of them. And, y'all, that's and those so are voices. Cool. The Native American voices are those that also need to be heard, and their yes. communities are so underrepresented.
Jesus Lord. Get you them know? In
so
there.
So thank God we do have these two women now in a position that we can hear those voices. Yes. That's really awesome. So, yes.
And,
so,
oh. and Dave, it's Sharice David? Is that
yes,
am I saying that
Sharice
right?
Davids.
She identifies as a lesbian.
Even better.
Y'all. How many
let's
boxes?
Diversify
let's
that.
Check all these diversity yes. boxes in one. Yes. I love it. I'm obsessed.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So Sharice Davids and Deb Holland.
Kansas,
that's all.
Y'all. Yeah.
Kansas
y'all.
Too. She's in Kansas.
She's from Kansas. Have you been to Kansas recently? I have. I went to a.
I've never been to Kansas.
Well, you know, I was born there, so.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, but I went recently, and it's a lovely place to be, but it's very, it's interesting. It's very exciting that she's.
It's the nicest
representing
way Kansas. You've described a place. It's interesting.
Interesting. anyways, okay, sorry. Yes. I'm just so excited about this one piece. I can't even move on to the next one, but I'm just as excited. So let's do it. Let's push through.
So also we have our first Muslim women.
From where? Yes.
So one of them is in Michigan.
Boop, go
which
bloop.
Is in I actually think I think she's in District 13, and that's my district.
Shut up.
Yeah, so I was like, yeah, what's
yes,
up? I'm now registered to vote in California, but yeah, like
but your people did, your
people.
Community did.
Yes, my people did.
Proud of them.
Rashida Tlaib. And then also we have Ilhan Omar, who is in Minnesota. She's with the Democratic Farmer Labor Party. And so both of these women, the first two Muslim women in Congress. And that, again, another huge first. And then we also have our first openly gay man elected to governor.
Yep.
Over in Colorado.
Shout out to Colorado.
Colorado's
shout out
getting
to the
it
mountains.
Right. I just want to say, Colorado's I been know. Getting it right for a few years now.
They've been getting it right. And they're also, you know, I think, don't quote me on this, everybody. We'll need to do a fact check. But mm-hmm. Denver's like the healthiest city to live in.
I would believe
like
that.
All, like, yeah. Everyone there is the most healthy because mm-hmm. it also, there's like all these different types of outdoor exercise you can do mm-hmm. and they have great food there. And so like, I don't know who does these studies, but I remember reading yeah. that and being like, that makes actual total sense.
Well, and once they passed legal weed, you know, their economy boomed.
So they're super calm.
They're super calm. Their economy's great. You know, they're really progressive. Like everything's
James,
doing-
we got to move.
Is that what it is?
Is that what's happening? Is do that I, why we're not calm I, and in perfect physical fitness?
I'm
I mean,
calm.
You're in perfect physical shape.
That is
shape.
Also a lie.
Don't lie. Everybody, James is in perfect shape.
No, don't quote anyone on that.
That's a fact.
But
I fact checked it already.
But yeah, I've never been. I do want to go to Colorado.
We got
to
go. Let's go on a ski trip.
We'll do a trip. I've
anyways,
never been
skiing. First openly gay, Jared. Yes. Jared. Thanks, Jared.
Jared Polis.
Jared Polis.
He has a last name, I promise.
I know.
Jared.
I was like, Jared. I like him. Great.
Yes.
Okay, and then this is so exciting. As someone from the South, we have our first female senator from Tennessee, Marsha Blackburn. It is so exciting. And she's a lawmaker. What?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
She's a lawmaker.
Yeah.
She's a conservative lawmaker closely tied to the president, as according to CNN. And that's not to say, oh, wait, she supports Trump, so we don't.
Right.
But I do think it's good to have voices both sides of the aisle, men, women, gay,
yes,
straight.
Yes. Yes. Especially also from Tennessee, y'all. Mm-hmm. Because in the South, it's like, I mean, I remember when I was in elementary school and it was like every time some politician would come to the school to visit. Be a white man. Mm-hmm. Newt Gingrich, he came. Johnny Isaacson, he came. Like all these people kept coming. Tom Price came. You know, and it's like, it's interesting for me to reflect on that and be like, huh, I wonder how that experience would be different if I was in elementary school and it was a woman.
Yeah. And, you know, actually, the perfect example, did you ever watch Parks and Rec?
Oh, yeah, the whole thing.
And I
start
think
to finish.
What's so magical about that show is Leslie Knope and her, the shock and awe she has and the admiration for the women. in any kind of public office,
yes.
whether it's on the state level, local level, at federal level. She just knows everyone's name, their entire history, their landmark yes. cases. She knew everything. And I think there's something so special about that. Like, we want to see that in real life.
We need some real life Leslie Knopes out there.
We do. So if we're inspiring the next generation of Leslie Knopes,
then I feel like our job here is done.
I can tap out.
Tap out.
We did it. We did
it. Retired.
Check. Wait, what is the sign that George Bush said? Mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished. Boom.
And just
another
some,
first female.
Yes. And just some last little things before we move on. We have our first South Dakota elects its first woman governor.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're still working on a couple other ones, which is our little segue here. Yep. So there's possibility of the first female senator in Arizona. But that race is still up in the air.
Up in the air.
As along with Florida and Georgia.
Yep.
Three huge races that are right now still, we've been having a lot of issues. And it seems like Florida is the common denominator here when it comes
yeah,
to voting.
Yeah, it's so weird, y'all. Like, I don't mean, you know, call me, what's the right word? Call me, you know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Where are you going? Well,
I don't know where I'm going.
Well, here's the thing. You remember back in 2000 during the Gore versus Bush
yes,
campaign.
Yes.
And that was the hanging chads issue.
Yep.
So there was that. And then he could have asked for, I think he conceded too early. I think right now the history tells us that Gore could have fought it and we could have figured it out. But Florida was the problem there. And then it seems like most of these elections were having issues. And now the issue with Florida in particular are that votes seem to be disappearing and then magically showing up.
Right. And it's just, you know, mm-hmm. I feel like since this has happened a number of times, like at what point does someone, and I don't know who's allowed to do this, just say, all right, everyone that's ever worked in the Florida electoral system is fired and we hire a whole new team and all new equipment. And I know this is a very expensive solution to the challenge mm-hmm. and we just redo the whole thing.
We should. I think across
the board, it's 2018. Though. We're going on many decades of this challenge.
We are, but I don't think it's exclusive. It's exclusive to Florida.
Agreed.
It's been happening
Agreed.
Everywhere. I was telling
shout
you,
out to Hedrick.
Yes, and I was
from earlier this season.
I was telling Emily before we started recording. I read this Twitter thread about this woman who was, you know, she was volunteering to help out at a polling station, and this is in Indiana. And literally, the entire day was full of chaos to the point where like ballots weren't even at the precinct for them to vote. People were being sent to the wrong place. Certain people weren't even allowed to help count, even though like you needed to be there.
Yep.
It's like the entire system it's not being checked. That's what the problem is.
It's not
uniform.
Yep.
It's supposed to be, oh, this is how we do it and this is how we run it, but it's not being checked and therefore it's faulty. And now we're having issues like we're having right now.
Yeah. Like, can you imagine showing up to your polling place and then being like, we don't have the ballots. What?
Yeah.
This date has been on our calendar for actual years. Mm-hmm. You don't have the ballots?
Oh, and I didn't mention this to you, is that she was commenting on the fact that they had volunteered and set this up for weeks in advance.
Yeah,
and they
of
kept reaching out to be trained, and no one ever reached out back to train them. So they had to watch YouTube videos on how to do their job on
election
day.
This makes me want to cry.
So there's something like dastardly wrong with our voting system, and like literally from behind the table to your actual voting booth. And we need to work on that.
We need to get some people that have done some large scale mm-hmm. voting that's worked well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there doesn't seem to be a problem with counting the votes on American Idol.
I know, right. And, it seems, and also there seems to be people that are more comfortable with voting for American Idol than voting in elections.
Yeah.
So let's fix that too.
Yeah. There are people that know how to, there are computer science engineers and, you know, really smart people that know how to make this work.
Mm-hmm.
So... anywho, that's a whole long thing we could talk about. There's a couple of recounts happening. We have the Arizona Senate seat. We have the Georgia governor race. And then in Florida, it's actually three different positions. It's the governor, senator, and agricultural commissioner. Because all three of those contests are under 0.5%. They're all going to be recounted by machine, which is supposedly going to be finished by this coming Thursday, which is November.
That should be November 16th.
15th.
15th?
Very close. A+. November 15th.
Oh, yeah. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
I'm with you now.
Circling back to Georgia a little bit, it's interesting. It's slightly different than, like, it's not necessarily a will one person or the other person win, but Governor or Mr. Kemp currently has 50.3% of the 3.9 million votes cast. And so the question is whether or not those are actually all his, basically. And so if it falls under 50, if it ends up falling under 50% for him, then there'll be a runoff between him and Stacey Abrams, which would be exciting because...
Mm-hmm. That was a close, it was very close. Yeah. I remember watching that one during election night and thinking, and my inclination was we were going to end up in a runoff. I didn't vote in that election, but it seemed like it was heading that way. You know, and I do want to mention this. I know we didn't have it on our lineup, but I want to say how proud I am of Beto O'Rourke and that campaign.
Yeah. And you been since Tuesday? I don't know if you follow him on Instagram, but he's only been like, he's been like making things with his daughters and like going on hikes. And I was like, you know what? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
You deserve that. You take your time. And he's like posting sunsets of El Paso. And it's just like, I feel like he's trying to heal.
Yeah.
And it's like really like, oh, good. You're a real person.
Absolutely.
And we already knew that, but it was just nice to see. I was like, I'm really glad he's taking care of himself. And everybody's all like, oh, what's he going to do now? What's he going to run for? What's he going to blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, just give him a second. Y'all give him a second.
And that's my question, because of course, the next thing everyone was saying was, is he going to have a Democratic Party 2020 campaign run, presidential campaign run?
Right.
And I like him. I like him a lot. I don't, at this point, like, it's too early for me to tell. I don't know. Some people
like he wouldn't win. But I think he'd be a dope VP candidate.
So then, is it too early? Like I said, some people are better at this than me and know, like, here's a candidate right off the bat. This is who we should run with. Like, some people obviously want Bernie Sanders to run again.
Yep.
You know, who do we have right now, or like, where does our party stand that we like really hold a great chance to defeat Trump in 2020?
Yep.
Because that's what we need to be focusing on. That's what we need. Too.
Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, I think he'd be a really interesting presidential candidate. I don't know if he would win, but I do think also potentially paired with someone, he could be a really excellent VP candidate.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's exciting to see how that might all shake out.
Yeah.
So but yeah, shout out to him.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Beto O'Rourke.
Think even just thinking back, like, 3 or 4 elections ago, thinking that Texas would ever have something that close. I mean, there was always discussion of like, Austin's a blue dot and this is a blue dot, but you know, everybody, it felt like it was unreachable. And so the fact that he even got to a point where it might've been reachable is like, wow, look at that.
And the thing to watch out for now, obviously the presidential elections are the ones that are bigger and usually get more of a turnout. So I think the thing that we all need to pay attention to is, who are the people that will really speak to you?
Yep.
And like, we need to really urge the Democratic Party to listen to the party, listen to the people, listen to what they want. And because that was the really big debacle with last presidential election, was that they kind of just went against the grain of what the people wanted. And they said like, oh no, this is what we think will be good. No, like, no, I think the people are your party. So you need to listen to them.
Yes.
So exactly. I really think they need to do that.
And I think related to that, there's an interesting article in Politico that came out about kind of what's the reality check on the 2020 presidential map. And so it's written by David Siders, and I encourage you all to take a look at it because, you know, it talks about how, despite kind of the progress we've made in races like Georgia and Arizona and Texas, these are all interesting and exciting signs. You know, a lot of those, it was, again, like, we didn't have our blue tsunami. So the presidential election might come down to the traditional states, battleground states that we've always had. And so it's something to be aware of and, you know, to know if and when you're going to volunteer, if and when you're going to get involved in specific races and you have the capability to go to a different state or you have the capability to give to different races across the country that are not necessarily where you live. You know, it's something to look at, that as much as we want the dream, we want the underdog, we want this, a lot of the election, the presidential election might come down to the states that they always come down to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just something to keep in mind. Obviously we want sort of combination of this outcome, but I think all of us should be tracking, you know, what is a realistic outcome and what strategies have we done in the past that we need to like double down on instead of pushing for different states that are traditionally red.
Because I think what this should also inspire is that we have to keep putting in the work.
Yes. So, oh my gosh. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yes.
We cannot rest on our laurels. We can't think, oh yeah, we did great. We got the house. We're fine. Like, no.
No, we got the house and now we still have just as much work to do.
No, now we need, okay, great. You need to knock on those doors. You need to look at whatever those districts are that are super red. You need to go knock on those doors and talk to those people. We need to figure out what is our common ground so we can make actual change. Because like we said, some of these places won't budge. The people that voted for Trump will probably still vote for Trump again, but you got to try. You got to get out there. You got to do something about it. If it inspires you at all, please work on that. You know, I kind of mentioned that we should talk about the whole Jeff Sessions thing just to think about it. But
I feel like y'all know he's gone. Yeah, it's another example.
Yeah. I do want to point out, though, that Matt Whitaker as acting attorney general, huge, huge red flag.
Yes.
And it should be a constitutional crisis. And lawmakers lawyers are kind of debating that now.
Murmurs of that.
Because he is now going into a position that usually needs a Senate confirmation.
Yep.
And he's not getting any kind of confirmation. He's just in this position. And this guy, he's not some reputable, upstanding gentleman. He's a football player. Great. So are a bunch of people I went to high school with.
Yeah.
This guy has gone on CNN and other outlets multiple times talking about the ways in which you can gut Mueller's investigation simply by, not funding funding it. And then, of course, somehow, magically, after Jeff Sessions is gone, this guy is now in that position. Yep. And he can do that. Mueller now has to report to Whitaker. So this should not be good. This is not a good thing. This is not someone that we should be, happy in this position. Like, this is not what we need right now. And I think Trump is on his ears are perked because now he doesn't have the House, and the House can now, they can pull his tax returns. And I think that's what's going to happen in January. I hope that's what's going to happen in January.
I am gently optimistic about that.
I want that.
We'll
to
wait we'll and see what happens.
We'll see what happens. But so Trump is on edge right now. So of course he gets rid of Sessions, who already recused himself, and now he thinks he's going to have a loyalist in this position that's going to completely get rid of it within the next day or two. I want to see this movie when this plays out in 40 years.
Totally.
I'm very excited to see what this movie looks like.
I feel like I'm going to watch this movie and be like, I can't believe that was real life, but I do remember it being real life.
And I hope we get the happy ending.
Yes.
So
on that note, pay attention. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, you kind of already are in some senses, but pay attention to how these last couple runoffs play out, how the 2020 electoral map continues to adjust, how the investigations continue to fall out. But it is definitely an interesting time to be here in the United States of America.
It is. But, as we've always stressed on this podcast over the past two seasons, there's always ways to get involved.
Always, always. In any issue, at any level, however much time you have, do you have 5 minutes? Do you have 5 hours? Do you have a day? There's always something you can do, and no matter what pocket of time you have, and related to something that you care about.
Yes. So anytime you can go back and listen to some of our interviews. We had almost 40 something interviews our last season. We had 9 really great interviews this season as well with different organizations. If you ever wonder about something that you care about, or you're wondering where do I stand on this? You can always go to isidewith.com. You can look up different things, different topics, and you can see that there are either organizations or people that are spearheading ways to be active about those topics. And as always, you can follow us at We Rebel Podcast.
You can email us.
Yes, at gmail.com. You can do that. We're on Twitter at We Rebel Podcast. Emily, any last words of the season from you?
I think with that, it's just pay attention.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah. Keep your ears perked and to the ground. All right.
Thanks, y'all.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And we'll see you guys soon.
Hey.
Whoa.
Stop.
Hey, now, I know what you're thinking. This is an advertisement, and I want to hit that little button that goes forward 15 seconds.
Don't you dare.
Don't you dare. We got to tell you about our podcast, TV Tunes.
It's great, and you're going to love it.
I'm David.
I'm John.
We host a podcast where every week a new guest comes and talks about their favorite cartoon from their childhood.
Yeah, join us on Campfire Media as we become your new favorite podcast.
It's going to happen. Now you can fast forward because we're done, right?
Yeah, the other podcast you're listening to.
Whoa.
Campfire.